Amen. Let's turn our Bibles. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're nearly finished with this incredibly great epistle. And we're going to begin this morning in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let me go ahead and just read a few verses to you. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." And the church says, amen. You know, we've learned a lot from last Sunday. No one likes talking about the wicked one. So, you know, when we go through the spiritual warfare series that we're doing it in by concluding this great epistle, don't remember that the devil, he is not God. Amen. He's not even like God in any way, any form, any fashion. He is a defeated, fallen angel. Amen? He is a created being. He is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent, meaning he's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. He can't be everywhere at the same time. He's limited. And he's also defeated. Amen? No. I said he is also defeated. Amen. Remember what I said last Sunday. When you read about the wicked one in the Bible, whether it's the God of this age or the wicked one or Lucifer, whatever title God gives him in the Word, always preface it in your heart and mind by saying, he's defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross. Amen. He no longer has the power over death. Amen. No, Jesus has the key of hell and death. Amen? So we need to remember those things. We also need to remember that he exists again, but he exists defeated. But one more thing. Remember from last Sunday, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Verse 10 is paramount. If you don't begin right there, it's not your strength, it has to be God's strength. Amen. The devil rejoices to find believers that try, well-meaning Christians who think that by their wisdom or their human strength that they can defeat him, the defeated one. No, they can't. The weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So with all of that being said, if you don't start right there in verse 10, you might as well prepare yourself for an unworthy walk instead of a worthy walk that we've been called to. Remember, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear the word of God, you do the word of God. Now, Jesus told us, he said, you can do absolutely nothing without me. We need the strength of the Lord to battle and know the methods of this enemy. Last Sunday, know the enemy. This Sunday, know his methods, and they are many. Remember that Satan's main goal, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, yes. But his main goal is not to destroy humanity, all of mankind. His main goal, his main desire is to have all humanity under his dominion, under his authority, under his rule. He wants the whole world, if you get into the book of Revelation, you'll find he wants the whole world to worship him. He wants God's place. He wants to sit as God, showing himself that he is God, but he's not. Amen? So now that we know all of those things, remember that from last Sunday where I said, know the enemy, for he knows you. He knows all about you. The demons of this world, they know your weaknesses and so forth. So like I told the early service, you know, what's wonderful about knowing God's word is this, is that, you know, the devil or the demons of this world, they attack our weaknesses to make us weaker. They know the areas of our life that we're weak in. But God, our Father, he doesn't attack our weaknesses. He protects us, amen? But he does come against our strength when we think we can do something, when we think that we have it together. Listen, no, no, no. Like I said a moment ago, you know, with Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and life, because Satan's goal, remember, is to come and disable the new creation and the new man. That's what he wants. So what we have to do now is know about the methods of the wicked one, the schemes and the trickery and so forth. And that's what we're going to be learning this morning, beginning in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And here's what we're to do now. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles, the methods, the strategies, if you will, the trickery of the devil. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but look what we do wrestle against. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the age, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul gives us four, there's probably many more, I don't know, but four specific areas of Satan's involvement. So number one, we know that we do not wrestle against, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We do know what we do wrestle against, the principalities and powers. And now we know where his methods, his strategies are planned there in the heavenlies. Now, with all of that being said, it's very important to just key in on one word. And that is the word wrestle. You notice that Paul uses the word against five times. That the word against there literally is like a face-to-face contest. And then he uses the word wrestle. I promise you, whenever the Paul there in prison, when he penned Ephesians and sent it to the church at Ephesus, there full of all those Gentile believers, when they read the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, of course, he didn't have chapters back then, and they got to the word wrestle, there must have been surely a quietness that came over the entire congregation that heard the word of God being read to them. Because the word wrestle there, only used by Paul and only used there, is a very important word. And Paul used that word to show us, or that illustration of that word, to show us the seriousness of the conflict that the believer is in against the unseen realm. The word wrestle there that he used, whenever they read it, I'm sure, because see, the first century Greeks, you know, when, you know, they had the great wrestling matches, same word that's used for them, but here as well. What happened to those who lost those matches that were in the wrestling event? I don't know. I've heard someone say they voted for Trump. I don't think that is it. No, they had their eyes immediately gouged out. Yes, they would be blinded for the rest of their life. So Paul used that illustration for you, for them, for me, and say, listen, you are in a real war. You have a real enemy, and you can't let up. You have to be on guard, amen? See, this world is not our home, and we are in a war whether we like it or not. So he says, here's what, guys, he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not in contest. We're not having a contest, a wrestling match with each other. Amen? Yeah, and that's exactly one of Satan's greatest methods. I see it. You've seen it. It's a heartbreaking thing. We don't fight each other. Satan doesn't want us to fight him. He doesn't want us to stand up and fight the powers of darkness. But oh, he loves for a believer to fight another believer, to gossip or slander or spread lies and rumors. You know what I'm saying? Oh, listen, that's what he does. The devil says, oh, listen, here's a strategy. Don't fight darkness. Tear apart the light of the world. Wound each other. Cause division. Sow all kinds of junk into the body of Christ. Listen, our greatest enemy is not what we see with our eye. The greatest enemy is what we do not see, and that is that spiritual realm of darkness to which Satan is, of course, head. So it grieves me. I hope it grieves you. You know, I've been in the ministry a long time, and I have seen division occur. And it, to me, I don't know that anything breaks my heart more than to see the children of God, the blood-bought, blood-washed children of God, have conflict one with another. to sow, woe to those who sow discord. Amen. Yes, that's what the Lord says. You know, there's six things, yea, even seven, that God hates, and one of them is who divides the church, who sows discord and so forth. And the reason is because it's of the wicked one. It's not from God. God doesn't want his body divided and arguing and all those things, schisms and so forth. No, listen, you know, you can, here we are, we're the church, we're called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Why in the world would we want to be out of fellowship with each other? No, the Bible tells us that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, yet there's a lot of Christians today that are. You know, sowing of discord that the devil does through believers in the church, one of his methods is so obvious. Loved one, listen, when you think about that, even Paul the Apostle in, I think it's Romans 16, 17, right in that area, he warns the church against anyone who would, he says, if you see someone causing division, he said, number one, you mark them. Number two, you avoid them. Anyone you see that is hindering the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church by causing discord, he says, check them out and get away from them. Boy, that's a heavy word. So that's what the devil does. We do not fight flesh and blood. And you know, if you watch anything on the news, which, man, I have limited my news lately, you know, the devil, is he having a heyday in our nation right now? Oh, look at our nation fighting against one another. Oh, it is heartbreaking. And you know what? The fingerprints of the devil, they're all from California to the White House. They're all over our nation, aren't they? And I mean, you look and you see the things that are happening. I mean, why is America divided right now? You know, I was talking to a gentleman earlier, and he was talking to me about child trafficking. And I said, it's interesting. You know, this morning about 3:30, I removed that from my text. I was going to mention it. I was going to say, which is not in my notes, but I put it back in right now. Why are our streets flooded with children being sold as sex slaves in our own nation? Why in God's name is that happening? Think about that for a minute. Why is there so much hate in our nation this very minute? Why are people burning down buildings and all of that? Listen, racism, hatred, murder, bigotry, prejudice, anti-Semitism, loved one, that is not from God. It is from the wicked one. Amen? And the problem is the fallen man in our nation, they don't, well, who's the devil? I don't believe in the devil. That's good. He the devil loves to be denied. See, the devil works in fallen man. He works, the Bible says, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, those who are outside of Christ. They don't know Christ. You know, John Phillips, a great expositor, just went home to be with the Lord not too long ago. Let me read what he said about fighting flesh and blood. He says, our enemies are not people. We must see beyond people. Satan may use people to persecute us, to lie to us, to cheat us, to hurt us, or even kill us. But our real enemy lurks in the shadows of the unseen world, moving people as pawns on a chessboard of time. As long as we see people as enemies and wrestle against them, we will spend our strength in vain. All of that, loved one, things can look innocent, but when we are fighting each other, there's a problem. Amen? Oh, we need to be careful. Now, that is a very known method of the devil. I didn't even probably have to say that to the church, but there might be some new Christians and so forth, and they didn't know that. But there's another thing that we fight against. It says there again in verse 12, against principalities. That's a very important word. It means beginning. Like, for example, the beginning of a rule, or if you're getting ready to put, here's the beginning of the line, and I just drew a line. So the Bible says that he who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. He's the one who started that little line, and it's still going on. And then he also said, remember, the Bible teaches us, it says that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. That line, he started right there. The first sin we learned last Sunday occurred in heaven, not upon earth, when he rebelled against God, let all those angels, fallen angels now with him, cast out of heaven. So that line started with him, and he's still drawing that line today because that's a major principality. That is where Satan rules, and it says principalities, plural. So there are many, evidently, under Satan's rule. But never forget that Jesus Christ, our Lord, we learned last Sunday, remember Colossians 2:15? He has stripped the principalities and powers. He's led them captive in triumph, and he did so in the cross when he died. The devil has been stripped, amen? Thank God for that. Jesus Christ is above everything that can be named. Everything. There's not a name, Ephesians 1:21 and following, there is not a name given among men that's higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's above every principality, every power, every authority. He's seated at the right hand of God. All authority and power in heaven and earth has been given unto him, amen? Matter of fact, the Bible says you're complete in him, Colossians 2:9 and 10. It says you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And you can go to Romans and remember Romans 8:38, right in that area, and it says, you know, I'm persuaded that neither death or life, you know, principalities and powers will ever be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God. Do you understand? If you are a Christian, if he purchased you, I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid of anything in this world. You don't have to be ruled by the pandemic. You don't have to be ruled by anything but the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And that's so important for us to know. Now, not only principalities, look at the next one. It says against powers. That Greek word is dunamos, which is the power, supernatural power, if you will. And so it's this here means demons who have power, but they're under the control, of course, of the wicked one. So our world that we live in, there is a mass of spiritual wickedness, demons and so forth. They're all over the world that we live in. Remember that they were created like Lucifer. They were created good. Amen? They lived in heaven. They knew God. They worshiped God. And yet, they followed Satan into that rebellion and so forth. And they were cast out. There's something else you need to know about these demonic powers. And I'm going to talk about that later on in the next couple of times that we're together. A demon is a parasite. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? And email me if I'm wrong. But there has never been in the New Testament, a manifestation of a demon manifesting himself. Now, the devil manifested himself to the Lord, remember, in the temptation scene, but not a demon. A demon, they are parasites. They have to have a host, okay? And what they do, when they find the host, they found a house. And then they're able to manifest their wicked, horrible personality through the individual, whether it is possession or sometimes oppression, okay? So remember Legion. Remember that there, I think it's Mark's gospel, and Jesus was going to cast him out and so forth and said, oh, why are you come to torment us before our time? The demon, you know, demons talk, okay? And they even know who Jesus was. Of course they do. And Jesus said, what is your name? Remember the man in the tombs with all the chains and all that? And he said, oh, my name is Legion. Did you know demons can talk? You know demons have names? Hello. And Jesus sent them out. And where did they go? They had to have a host. They said, oh, please don't send us into the pigs or whatever, the swine. And then the swine ran over the hill and they all died and so forth. Well, you know, the word legion means 2,000. Can you imagine being inhabited by 2,000 demons? So this is the realm, loved one, that we are fighting. They hate you. They hate me. They hate God. They hate mankind. They are, each one of them, they are there. They're an extension of the wicked character of Satan himself. And not only that, Satan's methods, of course, are their methods. And the main goal of the demonic realm is to prevent the lost from receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Boy, they don't want anyone to come to the Lord. And look what else we fight against. Against the rulers, that's plural, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now, that's only there in the Greek right here in this scripture. And it literally means this, you should read this way, the world rulers of darkness. Plural again. Satan and all of his angels, that the world system that is antichrist, they want nothing to do with God. They don't want God in any of their thinking, any of their thought life at all. They want God completely removed. Jesus himself called Satan the ruler of this world in John 12:31 and in John 14:30. He said, you're the ruler of this world. And what a title. Now listen carefully. They're the ruler of darkness. Whenever a person is not born from above, it's so easy for the powers of darkness to just keep them there. You know what I mean? It's not hard at all. It's so easy to keep the ones that are in darkness, the lost, in darkness. They attack the mind and so forth. Remember what Jesus told us in John 3:19, you know, about, he says, you know, the light has come, but men didn't want anything to do with the light. They loved darkness, for their deeds were evil. And that's what's going on with those that are lost. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:8 about us, the believer, for we were once, past tense, we were once darkness, not in darkness, but darkness. Think about that. Talking about this darkness here. Ephesians 4:18 tells us that our understanding, when we were lost, our understanding was darkened. We didn't have the light of the glory of God or the Holy Spirit working in our life. We were natural man. We were an Adam. We were fallen. Man, so what does the devil do? Now listen carefully. This is very important about when you witness to people. You have to know his methods. The devil or the demons, the devil can't be everywhere. So he has his army of hosts, okay? But what they love to do about the lost is they allow lost people to live in undisturbed darkness. Do you understand? They don't shake the boat or rattle the cage or whatever you want to call it. They don't want to wake up the lost people. In other words, remember, the whole world lies in the sway, lies unconscious in the arms of the wicked one. The whole world system, those that are outside of Christ. Boy, they don't want that at all. See, if they're in darkness, they're comfortable with darkness because that's all they've ever known. They find joy in darkness and peace in darkness, but they don't know that they're doing that. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, I'm telling you what, they are held captive in darkness by the prince of darkness, and they can't get free unless the church wakes them up. And that's what we're called to do. We're in a war, loved one. This is not reality. This is not reality. No, this reality here is going to pass away. The true reality is home. Amen? Yes. Jesus told us about darkness. Jesus said in John 12:46, I've come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide, should not dwell, should not live in darkness. So that is one of the methods of Satan. Another method, a strategy, or I sound like George Bush, strategery, you know what I mean? No, listen, is that he does something. He has the incredible ability, this defeated wicked one. Satan himself has the ability to transform himself into an angel of light, the Bible says. The word transform there means to masquerade oneself or to disguise oneself. He is a master of light. He is a master of disguise, making things look good, but they're not good. Does that make sense? He has some sort of ability for the world. He can make darkness look pleasing. And the way he does it is he makes it look like light. So, so important, loved one. Listen. Or makes it seem like light, I should say. Not only that, he makes evil. He's so subtle. He is so experienced because he's watched mankind since the garden. He is so subtle that what he does, he makes evil appear as innocent. He makes it seem, he can take something and make it look innocent or so natural or so right and so forth. He can put a person in bondage by the innocent things that happens. For example, you go to the doctor. It's a good thing to go to the doctor. You need to keep yourself checked up. Amen? But then let's say that the doctor says, well, you know what you really need is because of this, you need to get on some kind of oxycontin or whatever you call that, oxycotone, and that's that pain stuff, right? And he's your doctor or she's your doctor. And they write a script. Thank you. And it starts alleviating your pain. But here's the thing. Let me show you how subtle that is. Did you pray about it? Did you seek God about it? Did you really pray about it? Because listen, when pain is being relieved out of your body, thank God, amen? But what happened is you can be so subtle that he lays a trap for you, especially for Christians who had former addictions before they were saved. Are you all with me? You see how subtle he is. He is so smooth in what he does, and he's an expert, but he's an expert in something else. He's an expert in vomit. Vomit. What do you mean? I mean, he knows how to make what the Lord delivered the believer from when they were saved seem, that's a very important word, seem to be acceptable again. And so they return to the old ways, the old vomit. Are you listening? The false teachers, what did Peter say about them in 2 Peter 2:22? He says, as a proverb has said, a dog returns to his own vomit. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants, they'll do anything to disable the new man and push that person all the way back to where they were when they were lost. He is subtle. He is smooth. You need to know his methods. These world rulers, a loved one of darkness, okay? It also means something else. It means that there are specific angels, fallen angels, that Satan has placed all over the world. And they fight against cities. They fight against governments. They fight against nations. They want to get into the hierarchy of leadership and so forth. Now, I don't know the depth of all of that. I only know what the Bible says, so I'm not saying something that is not true. You remember in Daniel's Gospel, chapter 10, when Daniel was praying and seeking the Lord. Remember what happened? He had been fasting and praying for 21 days. And then it says, then an angel appeared unto Daniel, said, oh, Daniel, oh, greatly beloved of the Lord. He said, you know, your prayer was answered from the very first day that you prayed. Now, he'd been praying for 21 days. From the very first day that God sent me, he heard your prayer. It's been answered. He said, but I'm just now able to get to you. Why? Because he came through the heavenlies. Are you listening to me? See, there is a war that's going on in the heavenlies right this minute. And it says, oh, do not fear, Daniel. From the very first day you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God. Your prayers were heard, and I've come because of your words. Here it comes. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and this is not talking about a man, talking about a demon over Persia. It says, but the prince, the demon of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, remember Michael the archangel? And Michael, one of the chief princes, had to come and help me. See, there's a war going on right now. That's one of his methods. There's a war in the heavenlies, loved one. You know as well as I do, you can go. I have gone into cities. And the moment I cross the line, and you can probably bear witness yourself, and you go, there's something not right here. Has that ever happened? And it doesn't mean it was like a city that was filled with poverty. Listen, don't ever think like that. Darkness reigns everywhere. It could be in million-dollar row, if you will. You know what I mean? So don't think like that. No. And so they're set over this realm. He strategically placed these demons, like I said, governments, nations, cities, and so forth, and even in the church, to hinder or try to hinder the work of the living God. If you just look at our world, look at America, look how the powers of darkness have groomed our nation. Look where we are right now. Our nation is so groomed for tolerance and acceptance right now that, you know what? The majority of Americans today, Christians included, they don't have one problem with same-sex marriage. I don't see anybody out protesting right now about it. Do you see what I'm getting at? It's become accepted. in our culture. Not only that, abortion, that's a great choice now. Are you following me? Who's behind all that? Who in the world would want to murder babies? Are you listening to me? It's the wicked one. That's his M.O. He's always been like that. No, teaching, what do you call it, evolution is truth instead of perhaps a theory. You know, we're not some cosmic ooze that slimed ourselves out of a piece of water and it had an eyeball pop out and we're made in the holy image of God. But what's really frightening, and so much today, more so right now than it has been, is that demons use people. In other words, false pastors, false shepherds, false prophets, false teachers, that to teach Satan's doctrine. Do you understand? In our churches. I'm not going to say who it is or what paper it's in or anything, but I read a column once a week in this specific paper. He is a pastor, and I tell you what, I think his brother is Lucifer. Do you understand? The things that he says is just unbelievable. They're not any of them biblical and so forth. You know, and you say, well, Bill, I don't believe that really happens. Well, let me give you the scripture. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, expressly says, it is certain, it bears witness with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, that in the latter times, and we're in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Think about that. Depart from the faith. You know why they depart from the faith? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now listen, doctrines of demons, that is not teaching about demons. That is demons teaching through a host, a false teacher. Does that make sense? Yes, that happens right now. A deceiving spirit is a demon that leads people astray, leads them far away from God. If you ever hear, and I have, if you ever hear a pastor, a teacher, a Bible college deny the virgin birth, or deny the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or deny his substitutionary sacrifice on the cross for our sins, if you ever hear any of those things, or the inerrancy of Scripture, the Bible is the truth of the Word of God who cannot lie, amen? You need to say to yourself, I know who he is working or she's working for, and it's not God, amen? So we have to be aware of these methods. It says in verse 12 again, against spiritual hosts, or these spiritual armies, it says, of wickedness, these evil spirits, and their location in the heavenly places. Remember, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:2 that the devil is the prince of the power of the air who works in the sons of disobedience, those whose nature are still in Adam. So my old pastor from when I was just a young fellow, and he said this. As a matter of fact, he was a great Bible teacher, and he was a number one author for the Broadman Press, which is the Baptist publication in the world at that time, wrote on spiritual warfare. He wrote and said this: we have before us a system so completely depraved in its nature and organized in its approach that no method, meaning no method of the devil, is spared or procedure scrapped because of his heinous nature. No idea is too immoral. No murder is too foul. No injustice is so great as to be laid aside. Right this very moment, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. But, loved one, this world, this atmosphere, whatever you want to call it, is surrounded with spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? And that's that unseen realm. And whatever you do, please don't confuse heavenly places that you just read, or I just read to you, as the place where Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 takes place. Remember, where thanks be unto God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the what? In the heavenlies. This is not what Paul is saying. That's a completely different area. This word here is not where Christ sits, okay? It's not where the holy angels are. It's not where we are seated with Christ. This place right here, when he uses the word heavenly places, it is the place below heaven and above the earth. It is that atmosphere, the heavenlies, if you will, and it is filled, that is their domain. I don't understand all of it, but I know that that's what the Bible teaches. And that's where they operate. And I guess that's where they're sent out to do whatever wicked thing the devil wants them to do. So he says in verse 13, therefore, because of all that we've just talked about, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, every piece. You need every piece of the armor, okay? Take up the whole armor of God, and here's the reason, that you, the believer, may be able to stand or withstand, that means to resist, to withstand the evil day. Now, that just doesn't mean the day you're under attack. We're under attack every day, okay? We're living in evil days. Go back and read later, what was it, Ephesians 5, 14 and 15, right in that area about the days are evil. We live in the evil day right now. He says, and having done all, you're doing everything God has told you to do. He says, therefore, he says, to stand therefore. He says, take up the whole armor of God. Take up is a command, okay? That is something you do. It's like we have all the armor down here, and God says, I want you to bend over, I want you to take it, and I want you to put it on oneself and use it, and I want you to do it as a once and for all one-time act. One time. Keep it on. Never take it off again. You need the armor every day of your life because you live in his territory, amen? The wicked one's territory. He's the God of this age. Now, with all of that being said, you know, Paul doesn't say here, did Paul say, I want you to go out and attack the devil? I want you to go out and go bind that devil. Did he say that? No. What Paul says this. He says, you're not a devil chaser. There's not a demon under every rock. He says, here's what I want you to do. Here's what God wants you to do. Stand. Stand. That's all that God wants you to do. Don't, you know, I hear people sometimes call the devil names. You have to be careful about that. Amen. You know that? Remember Michael, the archangel, when he was in Jude verse 9, when he was contending for the body of Moses against the devil. Remember that? He did not bring a reviling accusation against the devil, except he did one thing. He said, the Lord rebuke you. The greatest name, the one who cast you out of heaven, the Lord rebuke you. Amen? Listen, did Michael, the angel, did he know Lucifer in heaven? Of course he did. And yet with all the power that Michael has, he did not bring any accusation against him. He just looked at him and said, the Lord rebuke you. And do you think the devil left? You know he did. There's not a greater name, loved one. So we have to be careful the way we do our warfare. See, the command that we have in warfare is this, and this is what's important, is that you stand. Stand. You don't run. You don't tremble in fear. You don't, you don't fall apart or any of those things. And you know why? Because the promise of Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, he says, therefore, be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That means that power that we have from God is God's will that you stand. You can do it. If God says you can stand, believe me, you can stand. And you know why you can stand? Because the wicked one touches us not. What is it? Thessalonians 3:3. What is it? Oh, the Lord is faithful, who will establish us and guard us from the wicked one. Amen? I'm guarded. I'm being guarded right now. I wish he would guard me from sheep, but you know, I'm guarded. I'm joking. Come on. Got to have a little humor on the front row here. No, come on, guys. You know, my son died for him, for her. They're the sheep of my pasture. I'm guarding them. I'm guarding them all the days of their life. Listen, we don't have to be afraid of anything, especially the wicked one. Loved one, listen to me. We are no longer under the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13 tells us that we have been delivered, or we have been rescued from the power of darkness and transported over. Remember? into the kingdom of his son. We are, man, we got kicked out. We now belong to God and we can never go back again. Amen? So you don't need to be afraid at all. But I'll tell you what you do need to be afraid of is this, about knowing his methods. And that is, knowing God's word is one thing. Okay? I mean, loved one, listen, we can know Luke 10:19. Remember what Jesus said? I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here. Luke 10:19. Remember the disciples returned. Jesus had sent them out and they returned and said, oh Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, yes, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. And he says, but do not rejoice in this. He said, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he says, behold, I give you authority over the serpent, over the wicked one, and he will and by no means hurt you. Amen? See, now we have that scripture, and it's wonderful. You need to know that scripture. When we know that John 10:10, am I stuttering? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come, you might have life more abundantly. We know all those. James 4:7, submit to God. Resist the devil, he'll run from you. 1 Peter or 2 Peter, wherever it is, 5:9. It says, be sober, have self-control, be sober, be vigilant, stay awake, be on guard. For your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. It's good to know all of those scriptures, but listen to me now. That's not enough. That's not enough in warfare. You have to believe those scriptures. Do you understand? You have to believe them. It's more than knowing John 8:44, where he was a murderer from the beginning, a sinner from the beginning. There's no truth in him. He can't speak the truth and so forth, that he's the father of every lie and every liar. No, you have to have more than that. You have to. And that is so vital in warfare. Do you know the very first year at Calvary Chapel that we had a demon manifest in our service? A demon manifest in a person in our service. And that person started growling while I was teaching. Now, we were only about 30 people back then. You know, this is the very first year. And all, you know, I'm going, what? Was that one of the elders? Or, and I thought it was a joke. And then I realized it wasn't a joke. And then, you know what happened? You talk about emptying a church. There was no hugs or anything. They're gone. And I was left there with that individual. And I went and got two of the elders. And I said, you guys take care of this. I'm going to Luby's for lunch. About 3 hours later, the individual, through much intercession and the removal or displacement of that demonic person, whatever it was, whatever, came to their, they talked normal instead of, it was terrible the way they were talking. Where am I? What's going on? And I said, it's Jesus Christ. He must be your Lord. He must be your Savior right now. Led her to Christ, totally set free. And that person, now this is nearly 30 years, this person's in the ministry still today. Amen? But see, it's real. You have to know, listen, the devil wants to do something to you. What he did in the Old Testament, what he wants to do in the Great Tribulation period to the saints of God, he wants to do to you right now. The Bible says in Daniel 7:25, I believe it is, it talks about the devil, or this Antichrist that's coming. He's going to speak great pompous words against the Most High God, and it says he's going to persecute the saints of God. Well, the word persecute there means to wear them out. Listen, that's his goal. He wants to wear you out. He wants to wear you out in this pandemic. He wants to wear you out every day. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. And you need to know his methods, because what he does, he wants to mentally put you in a place or find you in that place where you mentally, he wants to shape the way you're thinking. You see, we have a problem, all of us, and we have to learn to fight through it and get away from it, and that we look at our circumstances so much that we feel like we're defeated. Listen, we are not defeated. We will never be defeated because we can't be defeated. Does that make sense? I'm not saying we don't go through pain. I'm not saying we don't go through suffering. But I promise you this, on the darkest day of your life, no matter what you're facing, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible teaches that. We don't have to, I'm not saying deny our circumstances, but all of those things. See, the devil wants to shape the way you think because he knows this scripture in Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in himself, so he is. You know as well as I do, we have to beware of wrong focus. It's a tactic of the devil. For example, you can be driving down the road. You can be maybe singing a great Christian song that's on your radio or your CD or whatever. Or your iPhone. Today you can have it any way you want. And immediately, unknown to you, it just hits you and a past sin comes into your mind. Has that ever happened to you? And it could be 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 50 years ago. And it just, all of a sudden you start reviewing your past life. Listen, he loves that. He wants you right there. You have to beware of wrong focus, and you have to always be in right focus. In other words, okay, yeah, I did all of those things, but guess what? My sins are not only forgiven. My sins are not only as far as the east is from the west. Loved one, your sin and my sin has been completely forgotten by God. Why would I want to think about what God has already forgiven and forgotten? Amen? Therefore, Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation, no judgment, no guilt to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not going to go to the judge for our sins. Jesus paid for our sins. So we have to be so careful, loved one. He wants you to focus on death, not life. He wants you to focus all the time on I'm being defeated or something, or things are not working out. He wants self-pity to rule in your heart and all those kinds of things. Loved one, that is wrong thinking. He wants to shape the way you think. We're in a war. He attacks the mind. And that's and we have to do those things and so forth. He wants you to look at everything in the pandemic so much that you're no longer looking to the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. And certainly he doesn't want you to look at the Word. He wants you to fold your Bible. He wants you to keep it closed. He doesn't want you to open it. That's what he does, loved one. And there's another tactic. Boy, and I know this one. Fear. You have to beware of fear. And I'll tell you why. Because God is not there. God is not there. Do you understand me? There are more fear nots in the Bible than you can imagine. We're not to walk in fear. But I'll tell you who is in fear. I'm not talking about healthy fear. I'm talking about unhealthy fear. Amen? I'll tell you who's there in that darkness, and that's the demonic bunch. Man, no, the Bible says that fear hath torment, and it does. God doesn't dwell in fear, loved one. We don't have to be afraid of anything. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Love, no, of power and love and a sound mind. Yeah, and that's what we have. Listen, we have to keep that. There's only one person that we are to fear, God. We don't have anything else to worry about, amen? Now, there's also something else, and I don't want to go long today. I went long the first service, but I don't want to punish you. Let me tell you what I've learned. This is for me, okay? This is for my part. Very transparent right now, and I'm always transparent with you, but I have learned about his methods. You know, that warfare is for life. You know, you never reach a place where you're not tempted. Do you understand? Man, I've studied the Word of God. I know it backwards and forth. I pray 5 hours a day, you know? You know. You never reach a maturity where he stops chasing after you. Do you understand? Setting traps for you. You'll never reach that in your life. You are in warfare until the day you die. The day you close your eyes in death. Do you understand me? There's a war going on. And so what happens is, year after year after year, it becomes, the warfare becomes accumulative, okay? See, I always thought, you know, when I was in my early 20s and so forth, and when I went into the pastorate, I thought, you know what, well, you get stronger and stronger, and everything's, you have more wisdom and this and that, and that's true, but it doesn't, the warfare doesn't, sometimes it gets worse. Do you understand? The Lord used to speak to me all the time in my heart. Man, I mean, it was, and not that he doesn't speak today, but when you get more down the road, he goes, do I have to keep babying you? Can you not just trust my word? Do I have to speak to you? Do I have to give you an emotion to know that I'm holding on? Come on, you know what I mean. It's a true word. It's time to grow up, Bill. You got to grow up. But here's what happens. Warfare, and you may be under attack right now. Warfare is accumulative. And you can, what does that call that? PTSD? That can happen because it just goes on and on. I go to pastors' conferences, and I talk with young pastors, and they get up and we share after in between breaks, and they go, hey, Bill, can I ask you a question? I said, sure, man. He said, I've been now 7 years. 7 years. We're nearly starving to death, and, you know, trying to pastor this church, it's not growing like I want to. We've had dissensions. We've had backbiting. We've even had a split. I've had people that I thought that was on my board that loved me. They put a knife in my back. He said, I'm so disillusioned. And I said, listen to me. I know how it is to start out in the ministry and you have zeal for the Lord, zeal for that work. You work 7 days a week and it's untiring and you love what you do and you love the Lord. But zeal's not enough because you're under attack. And I told that pastor, I said, son, listen to me. You're under a never-ending, constant warfare of teaching and preaching and counseling, neglecting sometimes your family, doing without, not getting the guilt of not giving, all these things. And I said, listen, you have to remember something. You have an ancient foe. He has a lot of experience hurting, deceiving, seducing mankind. And you don't, and I don't. We're only here for a little bit, amen? No, and I said, son, listen, here's what you must know. And this is one of the greatest things that I learned about spiritual warfare, and is this, wisdom must come before warfare. There's nothing greater, wisdom. By all means, get wisdom. Remember, what it's better than rubies. You know, read Proverbs. You have to have wisdom in warfare. Yes, you have to have faith. That's why we have the shield of faith. But you have to have wisdom to operate that. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 20:18, by wise counsel, wage war. Wise counsel, meaning the word of God, the wisdom of God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:14, there was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it. He besieged it. He built great snares all around it. And there was found in it a poor, wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city, rescued the city. Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than warfare. Oh, that's not right. Wisdom is better than the weapons of warfare. See, it's one thing to have knowledge about something. It's another to have wisdom about it. See, wisdom is God's knowledge applied. Amen? Oh, and how important that it is. Listen, let me ask you a crazy question. You know, and this is not a hard answer. Do the fallen angels or any angels, do they die? No. Well, then how do you fight them? I mean, you can't pull, like I told the first service, you can't pull out the Glock for the flock. Boom. Do you know what I mean? They don't bleed. How in the world do we, what do we do? How does warfare waged? Wisdom. Wisdom. Be who you are. In any situation, wherever you are, be who you are. You are the light of the world. What does light do? It removes the darkness. How do you overcome evil? Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with Good. Think about that. How do we get rid of the people that are the devil who's oppressing individuals? Acts 10:38. You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, who went, for God was with him, and who went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You see what I'm getting at? See, we take the word of God. We live by the word of God. Love never fails. If you went and looked at my Bible that I counsel out of, that was one of my early Bibles. I love that old King James Bible. In the front of that Bible, it says this: the only battle that we face in life is one. Only one. Everything that we're facing all the time, only one. Can you build your life on the faithfulness and the integrity of the word of the living God? And I say, yes, you can. And I can too. Amen? See, that's what it's all about. And here's one more thing. I just need 5 minutes. Is it okay? Here's what's very, very important about knowing his methods and so forth. And that is this. The enemy greatly desires, the demons, they greatly desire to literally define or try to define your reality. That is, it's so unbelievable. They want to take the circumstances that you're facing in your life right now and define your reality that you are living in. You have to ask yourself a question. Who or what, in any circumstance, pandemic, whatever it is, when we were all hurt at times, all these things, you have to ask yourself, who or what defines my reality? The word of God or the God of this world? Are you following me? That is so important. See, your warfare is over who controls your reality. So you take the truth of God's word, you believe it, and you apply it, and yes, that's when you control your reality. Does that make sense? That is so important that you do that. See, I know what it's like. We face these circumstances. I've lost the job. I don't have health insurance. All the way down. Okay, those are circumstances, but there's not one circumstance greater than God. Whenever you are faced with a circumstance and in warfare, here's what you need to do. You need to remember your reality, who you are. Amen? Listen, again, Ephesians 1:3. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. Amen? That is a past fact. No, that is a past fact. God has pronounced you blessed, and that is a present reality right this minute in your life. You have to say that. Oh, Bill, look what's happening. I know that, but I'm telling you what I've been blessed. Not only that, let me give you, here's my reality. I've been accepted in the beloved. Amen? God, let me tell you something else, devil. You know what? Here's the deal. God chose me in Christ before the foundations of the world, before you were ever even created. He chose me. He picked me. He wants me. He's going to keep me. He's going to work through me until the day I see him. Do you understand? That's your reality. That is your reality right now. You are seated with Christ. God sees you seated with Christ in heavenly places right this minute. That is your position in Christ. He sees you not only redeemed, forgiven, sins gone, buried in the sea of forgiveness. He sees you sealed with the Spirit, which is the down payment, the promise, the installment, until the very day the purchased possession goes home to heaven. Oh, loved one, listen. No, I tell you, you need to know who you are right now. The devil, he'll do anything. He'll try to define your home life, your work life, your prayer life, your Bible study life, your thinking life, everything. Don't let him do that. Whenever you get a thought that's against the Word of God, what does 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 say to do? Cast it down. Get that lie out of your mind. You live on the truth of God's word. That's why it's so important when we put on the first piece of armor, remember the girdle of what? Truth. Man, that's the first piece. You've got to have that in your heart and life. I know it's time to go. One more thing, or maybe two. Never turn your back. Having done all to stand, run in fear? No. Doesn't say that, does it? No, loved one, listen. Put on the whole armor of God. He can't defeat you. You know why? greater is he who is in you than he that was in this world. What does the Bible tell us? As he is, Jesus, as right this minute, seated at the right hand of God, as he is, so are we in this world. Right now, you have to stand. Stand, therefore. And you stand knowing that God is with you. Never turn your back on battle of the wicked one. You know why? There's not any armor back there for your backside. Did you know that? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 52:12, I think it is, that God is our rear guard. You can't be in battle, and here we are, we're to stand. It means stand until it's over. You don't flinch, you just stand. Yes, you're going to have pain, and all stand. Now listen to me. Don't be Lot's wife. She looked back at what she loved. She looked back at Sodom, turned to a pillar of salt. You know the story. We don't look back. There's no looking back for the Christian because we go from glory to glory. You can't look back. We're going on. Jesus said about this in Luke 9:62. He said, therefore, whoever puts his hand to the plow, right, and turns away or looks back, hand to the plow, you're working for me now. He says, not fit for the kingdom of God. We live in a world of illusions. This world is filled with illusions. And if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you may be in Oregon right now. We have Puerto Rico, people listening all over. You may be in Chicago, you may San Antonio, wherever you might be listening live and even in the chapel. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? And if he's not, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the power of darkness, he is defining your reality. And you don't know it. You don't believe it. But he is. And I say that in love. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Oh, listen. The Bible tells us about reality and illusion. It says in 1 John 5:13, my purpose in writing is this, that you would believe in God's Son and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. That you have eternal life if you believe in Jesus. And then he says, the reality and not the illusion. See, illusion is something that deceives, producing a false or misleading impression of reality. Proverbs 14:18, it says, foolish dreamers live in a world of illusion, but wise realists plant their feet on the ground, meaning on the rock, upon Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son, Jesus Christ, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Will never have life. You'll live the rest of your life under an illusion. Jesus Christ is the true reality. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one makes it to heaven. No one comes before the Father except through Jesus Christ. Listen. The world, the God of this world, he is a light bearer, an angel of light. And you know what he's done? He offers people, he offers mankind a way of life, which is an illusion, a way of life without any relationship with God, without any relationship with Jesus. And here's the problem with that. It seems so real to someone who's lost. This seems so good. And it just seems, this got to be good. It's right. I like it. The Bible tells us very plainly in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right. It seems so perfect to man, but it only leads to death. If you don't know Christ is Lord, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You and listening online, you pray with me. If you don't know Christ, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, I want everybody to pray with me and help me right now. Say, Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And right now, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe in my heart you raised him from the dead. I want you to save me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. You promised, Father, that if I ask Christ to be my Savior, you would save me. Save me now, for I believe in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, no one looking around. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, you don't have to come to this altar, but here's what you need to do. Just lift your hand and put it right back down and say, and acknowledge that. God bless you, that's right. Anyone else, say, Bill, that is me. I just asked Christ Jesus to be the Lord of my life. God bless you for doing that. God bless you. Listen, you that are listening live, let's lift our heads up. Amen. You that are listening live, listen to me. If you prayed that prayer right now, you email me at info@loveneverfails.com. That's info@loveneverfails.com. I want to send you out a book in the morning entitled Welcome to the Family of God. Make sure you give me your